Hope everybody had a good Christmas and a good New Year's. And I know many of your sports fans got to watch a lot of good football last couple of days. There's been some good stuff on to watch. Just want to say this, you know, I'm so honored to get to be up here. Today is January the 2nd, 2019. I'll say I really don't feel qualified to be up here preaching the first message of the new year, but I'm here, and I know that God's given me a word, and I'm excited to preach this word. A lot of times we come in, and I wouldn't say that we dread it, but, you know, it's just out of holy respect and fear for God. You worry a little bit, and you kind of stress over making sure that you got everything just right. But God has been very clear and precise about what I'm to preach tonight, and has given me some good instructions. I'd like to preach tonight. I know Pastor said that our theme for 2019 is change. And just like you and I, there's a lot of things that we wanted to change in 2018, but maybe we didn't hit the mark or we didn't see the results that we wanted. But that's not to stop us from believing that in 2019. Amen. And I'm believing God for a mighty change in my life and in your life for the good. And for God to use us mightily. I sound too loud up here. Can you turn me down just a little bit? Okay. But I'd like to preach to you tonight about what could change if we prayed. What could change if we prayed? Such a simple title, such a simple thing that we all do that we probably take for granted at times. I know I do, and the Lord has shown me how important prayer really is. So hopefully tonight I can kind of give you some good thoughts, some good little things that God has given me. Nothing too crazy or nothing too hard to understand. But I just want to give you some examples about prayer. And I know a lot of you are thinking, you know, saying your prayers at night or your prayers in the morning or whenever that might be, praying for your family. I know we've all, I remember from a young age, my grandmother back there, me and her, when I was a little kid, and she would get in there with me and my cousin, and we'd say our prayers at night. And in a way, she taught us to pray still the same kind of structure and form that has stayed with me to this very day. You know, praying for my family, praying for my safety, you know, praying for different things in my life. And sometimes we make it a habit, it's a good habit, but we don't really fully realize and understand the power that our prayers have and how important they are. And I'm not trying to get ahead of myself, but, you know, prayer is the staple of our relationship between us and God. Without prayer, you're going to be weak and you're going to be anemic and you're probably going to be under attack a lot. Now, granted, we are under attack at times when we do pray fervently, but there's a certain strength and power that you can have from a good, healthy prayer life. But just some examples of what prayer has done in my life, among many other things. I just wanted to share a story or two. I like using some things that happened to me in real life. You know, I was dispatched to a wreck one night, and I'll never forget it. It was a motorcycle accident. This young lady was laying there. It didn't look good, and I didn't know how to help her or what to do. You know, I know basic first aid, and I know how to help somebody a little bit, stop some bleeding, plug up a hole or something like that. But this was out of my control. But she was laying there, and she was lifeless, and she could barely talk to me. But all I could think to do was just pray. So I just got down there with her, and I just started praying for her. And the paramedics got there and the firefighters got there, and you could tell the situation was urgent. I mean, I've been on enough calls in my career that I knew that this probably wasn't looking too good. So anyways, to make a long story even longer, I waited there for them and watched them do their thing, and And I would say this, that I didn't really feel like I prayed with a lot of faith. But I prayed because I knew that was the only thing that I could do at that point. So anyways, got busy later on that night. She gets transported on. And just like I've done on many accidents, I would go back to the hospital to try to figure out more information for my report. And something pretty shocking happened. I walked in there and I was looking in the rooms, in the code room and all these different places for this young lady. And I thought, well, they've done flew her out to Erlanger or wherever, to Huntsville or somewhere with a big trauma center or something. She's got to be hurt bad. So I go and I round somebody up and I say, hey, what happened to that girl? And they're like, I don't know what girl you're talking about. Let me get the doctor. So he said, yeah, she's gone. And my heart just sank. And he said, no, she's fine. He said, she come in here and we don't even know why they brought her here, really. I mean, I guess it was just precautionary. But, you know, and I was just like, Lord, there you go again. Performing a miracle. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's... But that's the kind of God we serve. Just the small, minute prayer that I thought that I would, like Gary said, just name of Jesus. But I prayed, and that's not to speak of any power that I have or that I'm some awesome intercessor, but that's just the power of God and how He operates in prayer. I would offer up maybe one more story. There was a lady laying in ICU, and I find myself at the hospitals a lot of times, and again, this is not to build me up, y'all. This is to build up the Lord. But I walk by this room, and there's a lady laying in there on the ventilator, and I see this family in there crying, and it was like the Holy Spirit just said, go and go in there and pray with them. So I went in there, and I offered to pray with them, and we prayed. And I left that room like I do a lot of times, wondering what happened. But God made a way for me to see these people about 2 weeks later, and they said, hey, she's fine. She come out of it. She's great. You know, they can't even understand how it happened. But, you know, that's just how awesome our God is. Amen. That is how awesome our God is. Just a great testimony of how when we feel like that there's no hope and there's nothing else you can do. No, I'm not saying that prayer should be the last thing that you think of. But it should definitely be where you go in a time of need. David said that God is there for you in a time of trouble. He's there in a time of need. So, just giving you those examples, I think that in 2019, if anything changes, it'll be because somebody prayed. Amen. I'm up here preaching tonight because... And I'm able to do this because somebody prayed for me. Somebody prayed that God would anoint me to be able to preach. Amen. And I don't discount that. I realize that. And I'm thankful for all the prayers that have been prayed. But in 2019, we've got to pray. So, prayer changes us. If me and Gerald hang out all the time, eventually we're going to start acting like one another. Amen. Is that good or bad? He raised his eyebrows at me. I don't know if he's worried about me or him. I don't know. But prayer changes us. Prayer encourages us. Prayer protects us. The Bible says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. He didn't say I go there for a little while, but he said that he that dwells there is protected under the shadow of the Almighty. And it equips us to do the work that we need to do for the kingdom of God. And something so small that we discount and we don't do it like we should. Amen? I mean, come on, let's just be real. We can think of a lot of other things to do in our day other than pray. And I'll be honest with you, you know, this is probably part of the reason that I'm preaching this message is because it's so common among us all. It's not just me. You know, sometimes I get down on myself and I say, man, I'm just not doing it right. I'm not praying enough. I'm not praying fervent enough. I'm not, you know, somebody says, "Will you pray for me?" and I forget. I mean, come on, let's just be real, you know. And I mean, those are all things that we shouldn't do. You know, we should, if somebody says to pray for them, we need to pray for them. If I ask somebody to pray for me, I want them to pray. Amen. If you will, the scripture that I'm going to be using tonight is in the book of James, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. It starts out in chapter 5, verse 16. And the reason why this scripture should really help you and ring true is, just like me, a lot of times when I think about prayer, I think, well, is it really helping the situation? Am I really touching the throne room of God when I pray? I'm not feeling it. You know, there's times when we pray when we feel it. There's times when I get in my office or I'm going down the road or whatever, and I pray and I know that I got through to the Lord, you know. And I don't think it's so much that, but it's just we're human and we go by our feelings so much that we debate about whether our prayers are getting answered because of the way we feel. But I just want to share this with you. It says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed." It said, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. So he's saying he's just a regular guy. Now, don't get me wrong, he's a man of God, but he's just like us. He was human and in his flesh. He said, "And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months." He said, and he prayed again. That's another message. "And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." Another interpretation in verse 16 says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." How many of you need some wonderful results in your life? How many of you need some power in your life? You've got to pray. Amen. We've got to pray. We can't just walk around being defeated by the enemy and feeling like nobody. I would say check your prayer life. And you know, this, I may get on your toes, but mine's done mashed plumb off because I've been in there with the Lord all week. And, you know, he chastises those that he loves. Amen. He corrects those that he loves. And I thank God for that correction. Now, it's not pleasant when it's going on, but thank God for it. So, the Bible says that the power of life and death is in our tongue. We have the ability to speak life. We have the ability to speak things into existence, I believe. What we say matters. What we do matters. Your prayer life matters. And I'm going to get deeper into that here in a few, but don't ever think that just because you're little old you, that your prayers don't matter, because they do. Right now, you and I standing right here today are probably the results of somebody's prayers. Your mama, your daddy, your family, somebody prayed for you to get saved. Amen. Somebody prayed for you when you were sick and you miraculously got healed, but for whatever reason, we just go on and we discount it as it's just life. But when we should be praising God for it. Amen. For the prayers of those that have prayed for us. This church would not be here if somebody hadn't prayed. So in 2019, if you want to see changes, you've got to pray. I've got to pray. Just to touch on this for a minute. And I've already given you some good examples about the power of prayer and what it can do. And I don't think it's anything that you guys don't know. But sometimes we need to be reminded. In Psalms chapter 18, verses 1 through 7, the psalmist prayed. You know, David, great man of faith, great man of war, just a mighty man of God, a man after God's own heart. But how many of you know he had troubles in his life? He had some issues. He had some problems. He had some obstacles that he had to overcome, you know. And it wasn't just for a short time in his life. It seemed like it was throughout his life that he faced things, just like we do. I told Mom the other day, I said, you know, things have been crazy in my life, in my work, in my home. I mean, just, you know, it just seems like things are so busy, so chaotic. And, you know, it just gets crazy sometimes. And prayer seems to be the furthest thing from our mind. We got to go to the next task, or we got to go to the next thing, or we got to get the kid doing this and doing that. You know, got to go to this family's house and these things. And it distracts us and it pulls us away from what we need to be doing sometimes. But Psalm chapter 18, David said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Now, we can read this scripture and we can find out who God is, but David had to find out who God is and write this so we would know it. But he found out who God is in a place of prayer, I believe. David didn't just meander around and figure out who God was. No, he had a personal relationship with God. He was a man after God's own heart, seeking the Lord day and night about all of his troubles, all of his trials, everything that he went through. He sought the Lord. He said, I'll call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. See, he called on God and he prayed to God and he's seen the results of his prayers, just like you and I can do. Now, I'll say this, a lot of times I've prayed and I didn't see the results that I wanted. I've prayed for people and I've seen things and I thought for sure that God would move on that, but that wasn't God's plan. But what you got to be careful to do is not get discouraged in your prayer life because it didn't happen the way you wanted it to. Don't get discouraged in your prayer life when you don't see the evidence of what you think should be going on, because God is God. He knows what's best. We've said it here and we say it all the time. You know, the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, he's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And it may not line up with what you think, but whatever he's got, it's good. And it's probably going to be better than what you can think about. Amen. What you could even imagine. So he said, the sorrows of death compassed me and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. David faced some things in life just like us. I mean, we're no different. He said, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. And this is where it's fixing to get good. Because this is where you can see in these scriptures right here that your prayers matter. He said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. How many has ever called upon the Lord when you didn't know what else to do? Amen. There's a time I was praying. I just said, God, it's an emergency. I don't know what to do. God, I don't even know how to pray. I don't know what the solution is, but God, it's an emergency. I need you. So he said that God heard his voice out of his temple. And he said, my cry came before him, even into his ears. Don't stop crying out to God, people. I don't care how discouraged you get or how many times you feel like it didn't go your way. Keep crying out to God. Keep seeking Him. He said that his cry came before him into his ears. Then the earth shook. That's how powerful our prayers are. So, prayer is important. I don't know if I can stress that enough. Not only is it important for your day-to-day life, for your well-being, for your family, for your friends, for your job, everything in life, you can bring to God in prayer. I've seen times in my life, Brother Gary, that I was going through something, or there was an issue, or there was problems. And half-heartedly, you know, I brought it to the Lord, or I thought about it. You know, God's omniscient. He knows my thoughts. He knows what's going on. And thank God for that. But there was times when I didn't give the fervency to the issue or the thing that was going on that I should have. And it's like I was looking for somebody else to comfort me. You know, like trying to call a friend or trying to do all these different things for comfort or for answers, when all I had to do was go to God. Got an open door to go on in and talk to my Father. So I would challenge you tonight that if you need something shook off of your life, if you need some chains broken, don't go any further. Just go to the Lord, our Savior, our God, the one that can do it. Amen. I heard T.D. Jakes say, he said, you don't need to call the bishop. He said, you need to call the bishop's boss. And that's God. Amen. In the book of Acts, we find a church that prayed. From the beginning to the end, we find people of God that had something in common. They prayed. I remember being a kid and going to prayer meetings with my papa. I mean, you don't see that much anymore, and I'm not saying we need to start it now, but I'm just saying this. I remember people praying and people getting healed. And I don't know about you, but I don't want my walk with God to look back and think about what happened back then. I believe that what happened back then can happen now. But we've got to get back to praying, church. We've got to get back to seeking the face of God. The Bible says, ask, seek, and knock. If you don't ask and you don't seek and you don't knock, then you're not going to get it. Amen? We've got to get back to old school praying and seeking God. It ain't even really old school. It's new school. It's old school. It's just the way it is. But we've turned away from it for whatever reason. We're too busy. But the church in the book of Acts prayed. And something that was brought to my attention, I was, Jesus prayed a lot. The Bible says that he would slip away under the cover of darkness, and that he would go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he would pray till his sweat was like drops of blood. He would just fervently pray. Now, this is God incarnate. This is God in a fleshly body, Jesus. But he prayed. So I think we need to pray too. Amen. But getting back to what I was saying, in the book of Acts, they prayed on the day of Pentecost. They were all gathered together in one mind, one accord, in one place. And it says that as they were there, something amazing happened. But the thing that I want you to see is that they were praying. They were seeking God. They wasn't just in there having a good time being entertained. They were praying because they knew where their source of power come from. Acts chapter 4, it says that when they prayed, the place that they were at was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 8, they prayed for others. Not only do we need to pray for our situations, but we need to pray for others. We need to pray for those folks that are lost and undone. We need to pray for those people that need God's help, that need healing, whatever it may be. We've got to pray. I began to think about how important praying is, and God started leading me to these scriptures, and many of you know the story of Saul. He was on the road to Damascus and seen the Lord a bright light. He was blinded, was led to a city. And thank God there was a man that was praying. His name was Ananias. And how awesome is it that he was praying, and while he was praying, he began to get instructions. If you want instructions about what to do in your life and the direction that you need to go, maybe we need to pray. Maybe we need to get down on our knees and just be old school. Maybe we need to lay in the floor and cry out to God and ask Him what to do. Amen. We get in such a hurry sometimes, and I'm just as guilty. We will make some kind of emotional decision about something that has really an eternal weight and value on it, but we want to do something right now. We don't want to wait on God. But it's time to pray. But like I was saying, Ananias, he prayed, and God said, go see this man. And he followed God's directions, and Paul ended up writing 2/3 of the New Testament. What about Paul and Silas in prison? They prayed, and they worshiped God, and the chains fell off. Getting back to praying for others. There's a in the book of Acts chapter 12, it talks about Peter being put in prison. And it said that the church was praying, right? It don't say Peter was praying. It said the church was praying continuously for Peter. And that while he was asleep, now people, you can pray for somebody and I believe that they can receive the peace of God. They may not know what's going on, but you can pray for those lost family members. You can pray for those people that are going crazy and their life is all jacked up. And I believe that God can supernaturally start doing things in their life to convict them of their sins, to draw them to Him. But it said that Peter was asleep between two guards and the church was praying. Peter's sleeping, they're praying. But their prayers reached God and Peter was released by an angel. Now, you may say, well, you know, I don't know, I'm just me. But your prayers is a supernatural way of making touch with God. I mean, that's the best way I know to describe it. So, what is prayer? How do we do it? I believe that prayer is just like any other relationship. It's communication. But we live in such a busy world that communicating sometimes is so hard. We'd rather text or email or something other than sit down and talk with somebody. But we've got to do it. So prayer is a personal meeting between you and God. It can be audible. It can be silent. There's times that I've thought in my mind something to God, and He heard it. According to Psalm 139:4, He said, you know every word before I say it. He knows your very thoughts. He's an omniscient God. You can pray in private. You can pray corporately in this setting. You can pray silent or out loud. You can shut the door in your prayer closet with no distractions, which is preferred for me. I believe in praying when you can, as often as you can, but there needs to be a time that you've set aside, that you've made preparations, that you can go in there and get along with God. And I know that's hard. I mean, and if you don't make preparations, something else is going to take up that time. And I've experienced it a lot. And I would dare say that in 2019, there's probably going to be a day or multiple days that I have made preparations and something gets in the way. And we've got to find a way to not be frustrated, to not be discouraged, but to make time to spend with God. So when should we pray? I was looking at something the other day, and there's another faith that prays five times a day, certain times of the day. It's not Christians. But thank God, I don't have to go to God at a certain time of the day, because He's with me. He's in me. Amen. The Spirit of God's in me. I can pray anytime I want to. Which brings me to another thought. A lot of people, and probably people that I may have said it, you may have said it, but just something that God brought to my attention. We need to get prayer back in the schools. Well, I understand how it used to be. You know what I'm saying? They say a prayer over the intercom, but you can't take prayer out of the schools. They can't take prayer out of the schools. I prayed in the school all the time when I was in there. Nobody ever stopped me. So you remember that. You teach your kids that they can't take prayer out of the schools. You can pray anytime you want to. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some people that will try to cause a stir. They'll try to cause a ruckus and do something to try to be, you know, where everybody can see it. The Lord said that if they do that, then they've got their reward. But I believe that you can pray anywhere you want to, however you want to, whatever time you want to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, pray without ceasing. And you might say, well, how is that possible? I think it's possible because God's omniscient. He hears our very thoughts. You can silently pray. You can pray out loud. And I understand that, you know, I can't walk around just praying all day. I've got to carry on my daily duties and business just like you do. But that don't mean we got to leave God at home. That don't mean we got to leave God at church. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, with all prayer and petition, pray with specific requests at all times and on every occasion and in every season. So what do you got to do in 2019 to have a successful prayer life to where the changes that you want and that you desire can come to pass? Just like any good relationship, it takes sacrifice. You've got to sacrifice your time. Many of you, I know you work crazy odd schedules like I do. But you've got to consciously make a decision and make preparations for that time to be spent with God. No matter how hard it seems, it will be worth it, I promise you. This week, you know, a lot of times when I preach about something, it's because I'm experiencing it at that moment. This week, God has shown me how important prayer really is. I'm not going to say I haven't prayed, but I haven't prayed like I should, I guess you'd say. And I mean, I'm just being upfront, real and honest with you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we get busy, we work, we're tired, we have families, you know, we slip a couple of 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, and that's fine. If that's what you do, that's okay. But for me, it takes me some time alone with God to really get my mind unwound and to just get focused on Him and for all the distractions to be gone and for me to just get along with God. You know, I got to be by myself. And I encourage you to at least do that at some point in the day to get along with God. You know, I know sometimes we hit the ground running and you're just praying as you go out the door. And you know, that's okay. I'd rather you do that than not pray at all. But I experienced some things, you know, man, I just anxiety and fear and depression, just stuff that, you know, I don't want that. I'm a Christian. I'm a preacher. Why am I feeling like this? And it drove me to my knees because I didn't know what else to do. And God began to show me how important prayer is. But I want to tell you this, y'all. I got down, And I prayed through, and when I did, I'm telling you, I laid down and I slept like a baby. I mean, God just give me the peace that surpasses all understanding through prayer. If you need peace, you need to pray. It'll take sacrifice. Sacrifice of your time. Sacrifice of your effort and your strength. Now, your relationship with God is not based on these things, but it will take effort and strength to be able to press through and to pray. You know, sometimes, like I said, you got to get in there and get rid of all the distractions. And I know that's hard, and I understand, I truly do. But it's what we've got to do if you want to have a successful prayer life in 2019. You got to have a plan or a goal to meet that's got reasonable expectations. Brother Gary talked last year, I believe he preached one of the first messages after the 2018 New Year, and he was talking about, you know, you can't set unreasonable and unrealistic goals. You know, you know, if Brother Gerald prays an hour every morning and you're just now starting, you probably don't need to try to sit in there and pray for an hour every morning. You're going to get frustrated. Now, I'm not trying to discourage you from that, but set a realistic goal. Say, I'm going to set 15 minutes of prayer every morning. No distractions. No nothing. Just me and God. Just me and God in the Word. And then you bump it up. You move it up. Set yourself goals. You gotta. I'm real big on having short-term goals, long-term goals, and trying to meet those. That way you can get to where you want to be. Because, you know, without a vision, the people perish. Without knowledge, you know, I mean, you've got to get yourself a plan. I would say this, the devil knows the power of your prayer. Why else would he try to distract us from getting in our prayer closet? Why is it that every time that you get up to go pray, something stops you? Why is it that every time I try to go pray, something tells me, well, you need to go do this or you need to go do that? Because Satan knows the power of our prayer. If the power of our prayers can release Peter from jail, if the power of our prayers can shake heaven and earth, then I'm guaranteeing you Satan's going to do everything he can to try to distract you from praying. I ask God today to please forgive me for not seeing the importance and the power in prayer and for me treating it as it was just common. But y'all, like I said before, prayer is a personal meeting between you and God. It is a supernatural thing to be able to pray to a God that you can't see, but He can act on your situation right there where you're at. So I'd say this, and this is just a personal commitment. This year in 2019, I'm not going to see prayer as common anymore, and I pray that you don't either. But I pray that we see it as a supernatural form of communication to our Heavenly Father. In 2019, I'm going to pray through, Brother Gary. I'm not going to just go in there in 2 or 3 minutes and say, well, I got to go now, Lord. I want to have a personal relationship with God that matters, that counts, that's powerful. I want to pray to the degree that my prayer and that my walk with God drowns out and overrides the voice of the enemy. And I would share this with you one more time as I close. James chapter 5, it said, the earnest prayers of a righteous man has great power and produces wonderful results. If you need some wonderful results in your life this year, just like we all do, I encourage you to pray. We all have good intentions, and we all have good thoughts about what we can do, but it has to be a lifestyle. It has to be a relationship formed on communication and fervent prayer. And we'll pray and we'll get out of here. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight, God, that even as I speak right now, God, you hear my prayer. God, you hear what I'm saying. God, I apologize and I ask you to forgive me, Lord, that I've treated prayer like it was nothing, God. But Lord, I thank you, God, that I've been driven to my knees and I understand the importance of prayer. And I understand the power, God, that is in our prayer and our words that we speak and our thoughts that we think, God. Father, I pray over this congregation tonight, Lord. Those that are here, God, those that couldn't make it. And God, I ask this year, God, Lord, that we would be a people of prayer. God, that we would know and realize, God, that prayer changes everything. God, that when we pray, you hear us. And God, regardless if we see the results that we want to see or if we don't, God, help us to be encouraged knowing that, God, you hear and that your plan is better and that you have a purpose for our lives. God, I'd ask you, Lord, tonight to watch over us as we travel home. Watch over us, God, as we go throughout the rest of our week. And, Father, I pray, God, that we would just be joyous for this year and for this season that we're in right now, God, whatever it may be. In Jesus' name, amen.